Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics.
Why don't you tell us who you are and who you're going to be playing?
All right, I am James, and and I am going to be playing Wyatt Wexford, who is a nomad, and he's the last warden of the Stellar Bastion.
The last warden of the Stellar Bastion. That's a heck of a title.
Yep. He's got some space bullshit background.
Awesome. All right. Fantastic. Does he have like a hero name, or is this space nonsense? So he does his stuff.
Not yet. No.
Cool. Love it. All right. Why don't we go through your character look for Wyatt Wexford?
All right. Wyatt is a man, with, he, him pronouns. I think he is white, but he has a modified body. And so what that translates to is he has a lot of interesting subdermal stuff under his skin, especially like on his arms and on his neck. A lot of what that does is just change colors, like not change the color of his skin, but like lights up in like dots and stuff. Like he has a, if he looks down at his wrist, it tells him what time it is.
Okay.
And I think that his hair also, like, it changes color, I think. Almost like thin fiber optic stuff that just looks like regular hair, but can change its color, like, instantly to his mood and stuff like that.
Cool.
And he's got some kind of a weird robot thing going on in his eyes, where his pupils can, like, stargate, like they have a little like thing that closes or opens and like can auto dilate and like change color and like help targeting and stuff like that.
Nice.
Oh, that's tight.
And we totally get panels sometimes that like show from his view and get like the reticle going.
Yeah. He wears traveling clothes. He is a sort of space hitchhiker. And so he's got a lot of just, clothes that have pockets, clothes that he has a couple bags, that are like, he has like a big backpack that has some smaller bags that attach to the bottom and stuff, depending on how much gear he needs to carry with him. And I think that he has I think he has many of the things that are on the bottom of this list, but I'm going to go with, he has a strange greatcoat, his clothing is just sort of like standard space spandex stuff. He kind of has like the bulk of what he wears kind of looks almost like a Power Rangers costume. It's just kind of like it's that like faux armor that doesn't really like look like it could possibly be armor because it's so tight. And he has like the backpack, and he has like a big like trench coat, but the trench coat has like a really tall a collar that kind of folds over. It's just kind of got this big like piratey look, and then the shoulders are armored, and I think the shoulders are like they're not just armor, but they also help like project. He has like a force field generator is one of his powers, and so the shoulders help like manifest that.
Are they like straight up like pauldron style? So we're keeping with this whole kind of like semi-medieval,
yeah,
just Regulus is more kind of more traditional, and you're taking it and building it a new way. Cool.
Yeah,
love it. Let's talk abilities.
Okay, so he has I've seen space and time and everything in between. He has tremendous knowledge, experience, and haphazard on the training, on the job training. It's not like terribly, sometimes it's not like, I've described it as he can fix a faster than light space engine, but could not explain to you necessarily how the science behind it works. But like, but he knows that if you like lubricate here and kick here and twist this thing here, then it'll make it work better.
Nice.
And then also, I picked up some cool toys. So he has a lot of gadgets and space stuff.
Nice.
And specifically the two that he uses are, he has a force field projector, which I actually think is like, it is also subdermal, and like he has the prime projector is like in his forearm. Nice. Then it connects to stuff in the suit, which helps project it larger.
Cool.
He also has a cloaking rig, which I think is part of the jacket, and that can turn him invisible.
Nice.
Is it like a Harry Potter invisibility cloak jacket?
Yeah, I think it doesn't like itself turn invisible when he pulls it over his head. It like projects invisibility around him, but it's definitely
That's cool.
Personal.
Cool. Like, in terms of the force field projector and cloaking rig,
yes.
Are there like specific ranges on it, or is it kind of like, is there other elements involved with it?
The cloaking rig is definitely personal. Like it makes him turn invisible. Maybe he could tweak it and make it shield someone else or cloak someone else too, but it's designed to be personal.
Okay.
The force field projector is like I said, it's this thing that's like mounted like just under his skin. So like, if you look at his arm, you can see there's like machinery and stuff that's under his arm, cool. under the skin. And it projects primarily as either like, think like a Captain America type shield, like just on his arm that he uses, like, but bigger than that, I think.
Okay.
Or it projects as like little, like the, like Kirby dots that just like float around him.
Nice.
To be like point defense stuff. So if someone shoots something at him or punches him, like a little dot might move around and like block that.
Yeah, you get a dot, you get a little crackle, and then.
Yeah. And I think he can project a big field, like a shield onto the ground somewhere, but it's like a, then it becomes a static thing and he loses the personal defense.
Ooh. Okay, cool. Nice. Love it. Oh, that's so good. I love both of these characters so much. The way the Nomad works is you don't have, is that you don't give influence mm-hmm. as easily as other people. So that's going to come up later, but I just kind of want to draw attention to it right now.
Yeah.
Because part of being the Nomad is that you don't have these super tight connections. And so like the connections that we're talking about as we go forward and the connection that you have, for example, to Virgo is probably going to be a little bit like loose and disconnected, and that's okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that's who you are, you little lost boy.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and take a look at backstory.
All right.
Who took you from the Earth when you were younger?
Okay. So prepare yourself for this.
Oh, no.
When he was 5 or 6, he was like a young boy.
Was he 5 or 6, James?
He was 6.
Cool.
He would like skip lunch and like he wouldn't use his lunch money because he had to immediately leave school and go to the arcade. And he spent all of his time at the arcade. And one day after hitting there was this game called The Stellar Bastion, which was a cool, like, sort of mix of, like, I described it as an early, a mix of an early X-Wing, like, space fighter game, but it also had these cool, like, Monkey Island style, like, investigating, like, story stuff. And he hit a really high score on his way home. Just like walking home, a spaceship came down and was like, yo, it wasn't a game, it was a test. And kind of like the Last Starfighter style said, like, you've triggered the test. So I should specify, there's no one on the spaceship. The spaceship is like a robot AI itself. It just explains that he's been selected to go be a member of the Stellar Bastion and like defend space from evil and stuff like that. They're like, there's a great galactic war going on, and he needs, and like the spaceship will train him, and he's going to be given gadgets and powers, and they'll go off and he can go on grand adventures. And so he agrees. Mm-hmm. So that's where that's why he was taken from Earth.
Hell yeah.
What farscapes did you explore?
So to continue the story, there's a period of time where he's traveling to wherever the Stellar Bastion is. It's supposedly like the computer teaches him all of this stuff about space, tells him about how all the different stuff in space works, all of the politics and all that jazz, and like there is a great old republic, or something like that. And like when he gets there, he'll join with the other members of the Stellar Bastion and obviously become part of this team to defend this civilization. And when he gets there, maybe a year later, because it's a long trip, the planet is like totally empty. Like there's some evidence that there was a war, but like not enough that like everyone is gone. It's just kind of like there are, there are no good guys. There are no bad guys. There is no team. There's no war to fight. Like he's just there. And so I think he spends a lot of his early like time exploring this sort of this like solar system.
Okay.
Where there are just like there's just nobody. Like it's just like all this evidence of a grand old ancient civilization, but like they've been gone for a long time. So this spaceship that picked him up presumably was in like hibernation.
Okay.
For a long time.
Yeah, so it's not like he missed the war by a year.
No, he missed it by like by millennia. Ages. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, cool.
So he has all this knowledge. And then, I'll just go on to answer the next question because it just leads right.
I have a quick Stellar Bastion question.
Yes.
Have we seen the Stellar Bastion in other comics, or is this kind of a new thing for Protean City?
I think it's a new thing.
Cool. Love it. Who is your favorite traveling companion?
Oh, it was the spaceship.
The spaceship.
The spaceship is like a personality. It has a personality. It is his teacher. It is his friend. He calls it Iggy, which is sort of probably a childish, like he's at this point, he's like a 6 or 7 year old. It's probably just a gross mispronunciation of whatever the designation of the ship was. And so, yeah. So I think that at some point he stops, like, obviously like he realizes there's no people here, but at this point he's committed and he's like in deep space. So he's like, well, I'll go find, there's got to be other people somewhere, so I'll go find them and like I'll go be a hero with them. Like there's other people to protect. Like I've got these, even though there's no team, I'll go find people.
What brought you back? So the question is what brought you back to stay for now?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to reword that a little to what brought you back to the soul system for now.
So what brought him back was at some point during his travels, the battery on Iggy dies. And so Iggy is parked on an asteroid somewhere or in somewhere safe, but has no power, can't go on. He is able to, Wyatt is able to get to a space station or something. And he's like by himself. This is where he starts hitchhiking through space.
Nice.
He's still like really far away from Seoul, but he says like, maybe it's time to head home. Maybe I'll find a team of people who want to join. Like maybe I can restart the Stellar Bastion there. And so he starts hitchhiking his way back to the Seoul system. And so I think that is where he is now. He is sort of in transit back to Earth. He doesn't really like at this point, like he's sort of like he's all like hype. Like he's young. Like I think this has been he is like 16 now. So it has been like a 10-year journey of like going out and training and like getting ready to be in this war. And now like there is no war. There is no bad guys. There's no good guys. There's nothing. And now I'm just like a hitchhiker. But I have all these skills. Like he doesn't feel an overabundance of a need to get back to his parents. Like he feels self-sufficient but he's on his way just to like, cause Earth is his home.
Yeah.
Cool. Sort of.
And so I'm going to go ahead and say the next one is, why do you care about the team? But we're simplifying that. Why do you care about Virgo Regulus?
I think that if Wyatt has this idea that he is going to put together some sort of a team to be the new Stellar Guardian, like if he's going to put together a new team to be the new Stellar Bastion, he's kind of got his eye out for people who are like these bold heroic figures, and then he can maybe think about trying to recruit them. I think that he has like really, because he is like, he's a kid, he's a hitchhiker, he has really run into like the bottom of the barrel of people out in the galaxy. Like in the last couple of space episodes, we saw Magnus Regulus, like we saw the wealthy viscounts and people in space, and that's not really who Wyatt has been hanging out with. And so I think that he runs into Virgo, and it's like, this is a person who is worthy of being a hero. Maybe we can like make this work, and we can rebuild this.
Fantastic. Sounds great. And so because you don't give influence easily, you don't have influence given to Virgo.
Yeah.
I think I've asked the majority of my questions for Wyatt at this point. Taylor, do you have any questions for Wyatt?
Does Wyatt know what the Stellar Bastion was supposed to do?
I think that he sort of knows. I've been thinking about the Stellar Bastion as being sort of like a Power Rangers type group. It would have been a team of like five or six people who defended people like of this ancient civilization. I think he doesn't really know much about anyone who would have been on the team. He doesn't really know much about the ancient civilization, but he has this idea that it's like it's a team, it's people who are protectors, and that they do important work.
Mm. This might be a silly question, and dismiss it if it is. Are the wardens, like, is the Stellar Bastion themed in the same way? Or, like is he Warden Blue? Or, like, is he, you know?
See,
like,
the Red Ranger?
Not a silly question. Yeah. I think that they were metal-themed. So, like, there would have been a copper warden and a titanium. I think he is the titanium. He would have been the titanium warden. But obviously, like, he's not. He's just the last one. He's like, there's no need to differentiate. But, like, his armor is all, like, his coat is the traditional armor of, or, like, the garb of these wardens. And he would have, he has kind of a gray, like a brownish gray jacket, or like great coat. And then his armor and stuff is all like the pauldrons on his shoulders are the titanium, like silvery color. But they would have been gold or bronze or whatever, lead, the kinds of uranium, the kinds of metals that stars make.
Perfect.
Also, I do want to say, I think that he thinks that Wyatt is a very earth-sounding name because he's hanging out with people who call themselves Virgo Regulus. and so I think he is trying to encourage people to call him Wex.
Nice.
Because that's a much more, like, Wexford is a really, even Wexford is a very earthy name, but Wex is a space name.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know if he's successful at convincing people to do that, but.
Well, he doesn't have that many people long term.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah.
He's been, I'm sure as he has been traveling, he introduces himself differently every time.
Fantastic. Well, I love Wex, and I am very excited to see more of him as we go in. Thank you very much.
No, thank you.
And I'll see you in the pages.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy.
Wyatt Wexford was played by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at AndTheMeltdowns.
The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.